Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, dear Calvary Church and everybody else watching online. It's amazing to be these Sundays together with you and to speak about the situation of the persecuted church. I realize we have this morning two problems, because we say we are going to speak about the persecuted, but very often people and believers who are in such countries, they say, no, we are not persecuted. And then I ask them, why? Why do you say something like this? And then they say, oh, we have just been beaten, but we have not been killed. And then I say, yeah, but that's very worse. And then I say, but you were thrown away from your village. Yes, but our house was not burned, so it is still there. And then I ask them, so why do you say you are not persecuted? And they say, for us, being a believer and going through such difficulties is something which is very, very normal. And then the other thing they are saying is, we are not Christians, we are followers of Christ. Because they say that in their context, calling themselves Christians, that means a religion. And in fact, it is not about a religion, but it is about a living relationship with the living God. It is about a personal relationship with that God who made heaven and earth and the one who has given his only son. And they say, oh, when I ask them, what is the reason you're ready to go through these difficulties? They say, it is because this peace I found and this new family I found in Jesus, I could never find on another place. For me, it is the first time coming here to beautiful Canada. And when I say beautiful Canada, you'll be not surprised, because your country is famous for the beautiful nature and for the amazing landscapes. There are so many people coming to Canada just to see this nature and just to enjoy everything you can see here out of the cities, in the cities, and it is really amazing. But I hope you will be not disappointed when I tell you that there are also other nice countries. So here you can see a picture of a country I made just 4 weeks ago. I was there, and then when I saw these beautiful places, I was thinking I should really stop and make a picture here. But Canada is not known only for the beautiful landscapes you have here in this country, but it is known also for the freedom you have. Here in this country, you can wear as you want, you can go and eat what you want, you can work what you want, maybe what you find as a possibility to work. But also here in this country, you have the freedom to come to church as much as you want. You can gather as many as you want, and you can pray in the name of Jesus, and you don't need to be afraid of what are the neighbors hearing, what are the people saying, what is the police doing, are they going to disturb us or not. But at the same time, when we are here and we are enjoying this fellowship in Christ here in the church, during the same time on other places, there is persecution. There are people who believe in Jesus and who need to be afraid about their life. It is exactly in that country where I was 4 weeks ago, where I made this picture. There I asked the believers, do the people from the government, do the religious leaders know that you are a believer? And then they told me, if they would know that I'm a believer, I would no more be alive. Because at that moment, when the people from the government or the religious leaders find out that somebody is a believer, then they just kill them. And they told me, you know, to be shot with a gun, that's the sweetest death you can have. What they're doing is they're killing the people in a very terrible way. And then I asked them, why are you ready to follow Christ in this country? Why are you sharing the gospel, even you know what can happen to you? And then they told me, what is going to happen with this country if one day there are no more believers here? The Lord has told us to be here, and this is why we want to stay faithful and to be here. I say always, for me, it is not a job going to these countries. For me, it is a big privilege, because when I go and meet the believers there, I see we can encourage them, we can help them, but at the same time, there are so many things we can learn from them. And I have the privilege to go to Muslim countries, to Buddhist countries, to Hindu countries, to communist countries, and I see that everywhere there are difficulties, but everywhere the believers are also very, very faithful. And for them, it is always very interesting when I tell them about the difficulties on another place. And then they say, oh, that means that our difficulties are just so small because on other places they are so big. So let's go and pray for these brothers and sisters. This is what they're saying. Today, I would like to have a look with you in the Gospel of John, the chapter 17, and from there the verses 13 to 23. This is a prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer where Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's praying also for all believers. And the best would be if you would read the whole chapter and not only these Bible verses, because then you will realize the power which this prayer has. Because Jesus was having a look at the situation of the believers and also of his disciples. And then we see that he's praying exactly for the things we need even today. And this is why I'm always so encouraged to read the Bible, because I see even it has been written so many years ago, it is still the same and there is still such a power. In fact, when I preach about these verses, I could preach a different way, because I could show you how the believers are implementing this in their own life in a Muslim country, in a Buddhist country, in a Hindu country, in a communist context. And this is why today the preaching will be not just having a look at the Bible verses, but it will be a mix of preaching and also a mix of news. It is like watching the news on the TV. Last month, when I was on this place, which you can see here on the pictures, then I met different people who told me about the situation they have there. And they told me about a father of a family who was forced to change his religion. And then the extremists, they told him, are you going to change your religion and to become as we are? And then he denied and he said, no, I want to continue to follow Christ. And they just killed him. And then the wife, because she was taking care for the children, then she said, now I'm going to the court, I'm going to the police. And then the extremists, they told her, if you do this, then we are going to create against you a blasphemy case, which means that then she will be the one who will stand in front of the court, and then they will tell her that she made something which is against the law of this country, and then at the end, even she can get a death sentence, or even she can get a long life sentence and to be in the prison. And this is why she decided not to do this. So now we read John 17, verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Do we realize that it is not just a joy coming from the circumstances, but it is a joy which is coming from heaven? And this is something our brain is never able to understand. How is it possible to have the difficult circumstances around us and then to have this big joy? Jesus is giving us this joy and this experience also our brothers and sisters living in these difficult circumstances. I went to a place where they need to celebrate the church services during the night. So they gather between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the evening when it is very dark. So this is the period when people come together. At 11 o'clock they start, and then the whole church service is going until 2 o'clock in the night. And then from 2 until 6 o'clock in the morning, one by one, they go out so that nobody can recognize they were all on the same place. And I was thinking, these people, they are taking such a risk only to come and to listen to the word of God. And this is the only reason why they come together, because they want to encourage each other. And I have never seen so much laughing like on that place. I have never seen so much joy on places where the circumstances are terrible, and then the believers come together and you feel at once like being in heaven and no more here on earth. Here on this picture, you can see the weapon the pastor needs to have so that they are allowed to have the church services on one place. The government is coming and the police is telling them, if you don't have your own weapon, then you are not going to be allowed to come together and together as a church. But then when they bought this weapon, the police told them it is too small. You need to have a big gun. So please try to collect the money as soon as possible so that you can have your own gun that you can protect yourself. So you realize the circumstances on other places can be completely different than the freedom we have here in the West. But these brothers and sisters can be a big example for us. In verse 14, Jesus is saying, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. We see then being hated because of the faith is not something new. This is something which happened already years ago when the first believers started to follow Christ and to be faithful until the end, and it is the same today. I don't know if you would go to church if you would see in front of the church people like this you see here on the picture. Maybe you will be afraid and you will say, no, I'm not going inside because it's very dangerous. Here on the next picture, you can see this is the praise and worship team of the church. This is a church in Pakistan. And here again, the same man with the guns. This is the welcoming team of the church. They need to check everybody coming into the church if the person has any bombs or any other weapons so that they can celebrate in peace together the whole church service. This is a church with about 500 people, and you can imagine that Easter and Christmas are the most dangerous celebrations when you can go to church. And when I was preaching there on the stage, I was thinking, my goodness, the pastor is here every Sunday, and there is every Sunday this danger that something can happen, and then they can have big, big difficulties. I myself grew up in a communist country. And this is why I know how it was for us when people from the West were asking us, how are you doing? They were taking care for us. They were bringing Bibles into Bulgaria. I grew up in the People's Republic of Bulgaria. And during that time, it was forbidden to have a Bible. During that time, it was forbidden to teach the children about the Christian faith. And this is when I see this in some communist countries today, I'm not surprised because I experienced this myself. And this Bible was so precious because there were people in the West who were bold enough to come into our country and to smuggle this book inside of the country. There is no cross, it's not written Bible, but it is in an amazing book. And that was the Bible of my grandmother. And we had this Bible together and then we were reading and reading. Or somebody brought a Christian book and then my grandmother was writing evening by evening this book down with her hand because there was only one book and then we wanted to copy it, but there was no copy machine. And so she has written many, many of these books because she needed to write it down and to give it to the next person. But, you know, here one of the children on this picture, it is me. But what you cannot see is that I'm wearing there this red scarf. I myself was wearing this and day by day I was hearing there is no God, the Bible is full of lies. That was what they were telling us. They were telling us that the human life came from the monkey. They told us that the constitution of the People's Republic of Bulgaria is allowing to have religious freedom. But the reality was a completely different one. And this is why we were so thankful that people from the West were taking care for us. They were asking how we were doing, and then they were bringing also the books and the Bibles we needed into our country. Today, there are some places where there is persecution and there are a lot of Bibles, but there are also places where it's not possible to get a Bible. And so we always check how are the circumstances, and then we see what is the help the brothers and sisters need on such a place. Verse 16, Jesus is praying, "They're not of the world, even as I'm not of it." Verse 17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." You know, as long as we're in this world, we are going to have fears. There are so many reasons why we could be afraid. But here on this picture, you see somebody who is for me a big example. This lady is in a country where it is forbidden to educate the children about the Christian faith. But she's producing materials. She's taking a big, big risk. And I remember when we met the first time, we were having big discussions about this. Is it okay to have, as a Christian, fears, or is it a sin? And I have spoken to so many pastors who are saying, you know, on Sunday, I'm standing in front of the church and I'm preaching the word of God and I'm telling the believers not to be afraid. And then I go home and then I'm afraid myself. So what should I do? And then we come together in the presence of the Lord and we pray together. And I tell them, do you know, sometimes even I'm afraid. When I come to your country, I know what could happen. But then I come with my fears to the Lord and I ask Him for His protection and to take the fear away. And so this lady you see here on the picture, she told me the first time we were speaking about the fear. And when you visited us the next time, then because you told us that even you are afraid, now we see our fear is gone. The circumstances are still the same, but we decided not to have fear. And I see that the team is seeing that I don't have fear anymore. And now even the team is becoming more and more bold in the things they're doing. And, you know, when I was at her house, I asked her, "Where do you go to church?" And then she made only like this. Here you can see on the picture her house, and then you can see the floor. And then I was thinking, is there a house church gathering here? She said, no. I said, do you have maybe some people coming from time to time to you and together together? She said, no. On Sundays, I just sit on the floor myself, and I open the Bible, and I start to read it. And then I'm the church. I cannot go to an official church because if they see me that I'm going there, then I will be no more able to do the ministry. I cannot ask other people to come to my house because we have the neighbors and they have the cameras and they're watching everything what is happening here at my house. So I read the Bible, I ask the Lord to speak to me, and I'm a one-lady church. And then she started to cry. And she told me the thing I miss most is having the Lord's Supper with other believers. But I pray that one day there will be a change in this country so that we can celebrate even the Lord's Supper together. So you see, it is very painful sometimes when you are not allowed to have the fellowship with other believers. And so here you have the freedom to come to church, but how often do you come? Or how often do you meet in the houses? How often do you meet for prayer, for worship? We see that the word of God is guidance and power. And this is why we are called to read it and to keep it in our hearts. And I see so many believers who go to prison and they don't have the Bible with them. And then they say the only thing we can take with us when we go to prison is the Word of God in our hearts. Somebody told me about a group of believers who were arrested and then they were in prison. They didn't have any Bible with them. And then they decided that everybody of the people there in the cell is going to tell the Bible verses they know so that they can encourage each other. And they started to write them down. And so at the end, they had their own Bible only with the Bible verses they knew in their own head and in the hearts. This is why it's so good that we live with the Word of God. I was asking myself many times why the governments are so afraid of the Bible. And the reason is because many of the governments, they want really to be above everybody. So that when they tell something, everybody is obeying to them. But the Lord is telling us to obey to Him more than to the people. And this is why these governments know that if they tell the people, the citizens, to do something which is against the word of God, then the believers will prefer to obey to what the word of God is saying. And this is why they're so afraid. Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. There are some places where the governments are proud to say that in that country, 100% of the believers are only Muslim. They say in this country, there is no one who is a Christian. There is no one who has another religion. And in one of these countries, I met two leaders. And one of them, he told me, in the morning when I get up, I don't know if I'm not going to spend the night in the prison. I don't know which is the day when they're going to catch me and bring me into prison. And another leader, he told me, I'm tired. I'm tired of hiding, and I decided just to go and preach the gospel. If they want to kill me, let them kill me. If they want to put me into prison, let them put me into prison. And even the circumstances are like this. These brothers, they experience what it is to have this full measure of joy because they are laughing, they are telling jokes and many, many other things. Here you can see a picture or two pictures of a country which is reigned by the terrorists. And it is very, very difficult for the believers there. And many people from the West, they think the best solution is to help those believers to leave the country and then their problems will be solved. But these people are saying, what is going to happen to our country if there will be no more believers in Christ here? No, we are called to stay here. And you know what we as a church in the free world are called to? We are called to stand with them. We are called to support them and to stand with them when they have these difficulties. Verse 18 and 19, Jesus is saying, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So we see that the circumstances in this world, they are not easy. And in these countries, even we have the year 2025, the circumstances are like in the mid-age. Please believe me, and if you don't believe, just come after the church service to me and you can ask me which are the countries I'm speaking about. I was in a country just 2 months ago where the terrorists and the extremists, they burned two villages of believers. They burned all the houses of the believers with all their animals, with everything. And so here on the picture, you can see how we were able to help them first to get a tent and then also to get some food and some clothes and also some goats so that they can have again the animals. And also we helped them to build a house. And can you imagine, per family, that was about $1,400 Canadian. And with this amount, you can change really the situation of a whole family. A family who lost everything because of the faith in Christ. Here on this picture, you can see the pastor. And I asked him when we met, is there anything you want me to tell to the believers in the West, those who helped? And then he said, tell them that for us, the help didn't come from the West. For us, the help came from the Lord. Because when we came and we saw that our whole village was burned, then we went on our knees and we prayed and we said, Lord, we trust that you are going to provide the help at the right time. And just some days later, you came and you brought us this help. So tell these people that the Lord has just used them so that they can help us. But in fact, it is the Lord who helped us here in this situation. And here on the picture, you can see this cottage with the heart there as a window. This is the church. And can you believe the whole village was burned? And where the green tent is, that was the house of the pastor. So it was burned as well, but the church didn't burn. And then I asked the pastor, how is it possible that all the houses in the village are burned and the church is still there? Then he told me, do you know, a church cannot burn. It is a real miracle how this church is still there. But a bigger miracle is that these people continue to follow the Lord and to live with Him. And they are so thankful that we stand with them. And we are going to read the verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It is a big miracle to realize that we live in different circumstances, but we are one body. And Jesus is praying exactly for that unity. I want to give you some examples from the church in Pakistan. You know, this is the flag of Pakistan, and here you see that there is this green part, and they say that that's representing the majority of the population in Pakistan, which is a Muslim population, and then the white is representing the minority, and the Christians are part of this minority. But at the moment in Pakistan, there are many, many people who are still slaves, and most of them, they're Christians. Here on this picture, you can see one family we were able to release just 1 month ago. And they're the fourth generation of believers living in slavery. Their grand-grandfathers, they borrowed some money, and then they were not able to pay it back. And so they are in the hands of the owners, and so the debts they were given from generation to generation, and now we were able to release them from that slavery. But you see also the father holding his child here on the picture, and his wife died, and now he is a slave, his child is a slave, but he cannot release himself. He needs somebody who is going to help him. And we are the whole time seeing so many needs. Like on the next picture, you see these children who are also slaves and who are working there and producing these bricks, and it's terrible. But the more terrible thing is that their parents passed away just a short time ago. And now all the debts of the parents, they are debts of the children. When I heard this, then I thought, no, it is not possible that something like this is happening today. And I was so glad when some people said, we're ready to help and let's do that. And now the children, they're free, but they cannot survive themselves. They need somebody who is helping them. And so we released also one more family, so that that family is taking care for these children. Here on the next picture, you can see the law, the blasphemy law in Pakistan. And you see that when somebody is accused in blasphemy, then he can get or she death sentence or life sentence. And this is a very, very bad reality. And here on the next picture, you see a prison. These are the circumstances our brothers and sisters in some places need to be in, to stay in. And I ask always the relatives who go and visit the person from the family who is in prison. And I say, what about the fate of her fate, his fate? And then they're saying, his fate became even stronger since he's in prison, or she. This is why for us it is so important to stand with our brothers and sisters in those countries, with legal help, with medical help, with help for starting a business, for building a house. And it is our responsibility as a church in the free world to stand with them. It is not a question of choice, do we want or we don't. No, we are one body. And this is why we need to stand with them, because they need to feel the love of our part, and so that they know they are not alone. And one day we are going to be together in heaven. I'm so encouraged to see how they do their part. They pray, they collect money, they help on places where there is persecution, and they're a big example to all of us. And this is why I'm so thankful that today I was able to share all these things with you, and I ask you, please pray for them. even in that country where they told me if the government or the religious leaders would know that we are believers and they would kill us immediately. When I asked them, what is the thing you need mostly? They said, please pray for us. Amen.